The following is a presentation of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Chris Tice. For more audio and video content, please check us out on the web at www.opendoornj.org.
Amen. I told him he'll agree 10 years from now. He might not agree now. But anyway, good morning. Dominic Panicetti, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. Been here a long time, and I'm looking for a way out. Amen. Not out of the service of the Lord, but out of the service of the people. Amen. People are, today especially, there's a great demand. They need somebody young with energy like your pastor. And he is a gem. He's got a gem wife, beautiful children. I don't know. We're working one of the children into our family. Maybe one of them is going to be my granddaughter-in-law. What do you think? Cool. We'll be checking that out today. I'm an observer. And love your church. I love the spirit of this church. Just love what God's doing here with you all. And I want to thank not only the pastor and his wife for inviting me, but thank you for receiving me. And I pray you pay attention to me. Now, if you don't want to take a nap, at least you showed up. Amen. I thank you for that much. Most of our church, I have a guy who says, that's the only place in Fishtown I could sleep is at Bethel. It's the only peaceful place in the city. I said, well, that's a compliment. So if you sleep, it could be a compliment. Amen. And well, nonetheless, what else can I say? My wife Linda's accompanied me. She's been my bride for 47 years plus. We went together 6 years or 7 years prior. So I've been with one girl 50-something years. Amen. And what a wonderful young lady. She's the mother of 8 of our children. She's the grandmother of 24 grandchildren. And she's a great-grandmother of 2. I have nothing to do with none of that. And that's all her problem. But they're ugly kids. But, you know, whatever they're... I have 8 children, 2 girls and 6 sons. And the last one were twin boys, Jeremiah and Josiah. And Jeremiah's not married. He's 31. Anybody here? They don't move. They don't move. They stay with us. But he's an ugly kid. That's the only trouble. He's a nice kid, but he's just ugly.
Ugly.
Ronnie Dangerfield said he went out with a girl. She was ugly. He took 2 bags. So Johnny Carson said, why'd you take 2 bags? He said, in case the first one broke. And so in our church, we call that a 2-bag date, 3-bag date. You see, so-and-so's dating, why? 3-bagger. Amen. And the ugliest sin, and we don't like sin. You know that. Amen. All right. If you open your Bibles in Matthew 24, I hope I won't be too offensive. I pray, please, Lord, don't. Let me be under the pastor, under his guidance. And not to say anything offensive. And the only way to do that is preach the word. Amen. In context. And by God's grace and for his timing. A word in due season. How good is it? So, yeah, preached for 35 years. I Bible Institute for 28 of those years. The Christian Academy Bible classes and chapels. And you know, you preach. I have files you would not believe on sermons. So what do you preach? God leads you to preach. And let me tell you, I have messages so prepared, he always gets me the one that's the least. It's like, God, what are you doing? I want to look sharp. God says, it's not about you. It's about the person who needs the word today. And so I pray God stays in control. Tonight, if you come back, we're going to talk about bad DNA. Ugly kids. How to fix ugly kids. How to correct bad DNA. Amen. You come back tonight, we'll have some fun. We'll talk about that. If you're going to have revival, if you take the R-E away, that means to repeat it, to do something again. You need vival. Viva la Mexico. There you go. That's for the Mexicans. Amen. Viva la France. No. We don't even say French toast anymore. You know. Viva la America, you know. Viva. Life. May their life be. But revival. Is to get that life back. And you got to get Christ's life. And everybody who gets Christ's life quenches and grieves the spirit throughout their Christian walk. And every time you do, you need to revive that life. But you have to have the life. Getting the life has something to do with the subject this morning. And keeping the life has something to do with the subject. And keeping your church has something to do with the subject. And if we're going to get revival, we need this very one thing. We lose this one thing, close the doors, let's get out. Or let's have pancakes Sunday. Bingo, Friday. Bingo. the guy's at Yankee Stadium, and he was drunk. He's up nice. He says, come on, he says, play ball. And the guy says, this isn't a baseball game. The Pope is speaking in the stadium. He said, I'm sorry. Bingo! So I pray this is not a bingo party. That this one word is still here. It'll stay here, and you'll keep it with all your heart here. This is a word that's elusive, and without it, we're done. So let's pray. I'm going to preach out of Matthew 24, and we're going to look at verses 10 to 12. And how about if we stand? Would you stand? Now, if you're a senior citizen like me, sit down. Stay seated. Yeah. You're not dishonoring. I don't want to hear your knees making all that noise. It hurts me. Who asked you to stand? Sit down. 24, 10 to 12, then we'll pray and we'll speak about the one thing. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, that's flesh, the love of many shall wax cold. I want to speak about the love that keeps on loving. The love that loves God, it's agape love. The love that loves each other, the love that loves the lost. When this love gets waxing cold, and we're in the days of the waxing of love, we're in the days of it. Iniquity, flesh, a lot of fleshly religion, a lot of works. Look at me, look at us, come to our church, do this, do that. Extra car, you know, extra, you get health, you get wealth. You know, a lot of iniquity today, but the love of God's missing. So I want to speak to you about the love that keeps on loving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text that I believe you're leading to speak to this church. For without this, Lord, there is no going on. I pray you would save anyone here today that's not assured. Those who are doubting and are, I pray you'll give them full assurance. Those of us who are, and maybe, Lord Jesus, we're working, but we're not loving. Help us to get back to this basic one tenet, the very thing we need to keep on loving those we need to love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. There's an exposition of this text. There's steps here that actually talks. Did you notice this context is social disorder? Parents and children not getting along, even turning each other in. That's absurd. It already happened in Germany. It's happened in many different islands around the world. It's happened even in the Arab states where we're right now fighting, where a child will turn a parent in that might be helping a U.S. soldier or another, maybe an ally, and vice versa, parents will turn a child in for fear of the government. And so social disorder, there's going to be a lot of social disorder as we start to see now. At the end times, men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures, not lovers of God. Amen? Haters, despisers of those that are good, and so forth and so on. We're into them days. Oh, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Holy Spirit, in the days of Paul, took the express bus to our day and age. And one of the things he said is, the love of many, similar to this, are going to wax cold. And so we are in those days. And there is a social disorder, if you notice the context. The context says, a lot of trouble socially. The cause, many false preachers. See, I come up here, preach out of the King James Bible, preach a King James verse, and tell you if you do this, you'll go home and you'll get an extra car. I just took the grace of God, the very free favor of God, the love of God, and told you to use it for your personal gain and benefit. That's wrong. That's wrong. But you went to a church and he opened up the King James and he preached the King James word and he told you you're going to prosper. I was just on social media. Someone said that somebody poured out a blessing, and you're going to receive the blessing before. And who is this guy that's going to tell us we're going to receive a blessing? Suppose I receive tribulation. I see my Savior poured out tribulation. He says, Dominic, if I suffered, you're going to suffer. In this world, you have tribulation. I'm pouring out this blessing. Can you receive this blessing, Brother Pennichetti? No, I don't want to receive tribulation. He said, well, they hated me. They're going to hate you. See, we're into this kind of Jesus, this Messiah that's supposed to have a mission to make us prosperous. And they thought that what Messiah when he first came to earth, and they killed him because they were not prosperous. He called them to say, pick up a cross. Die for me. Get rid of your life. He was the least, is the highest. What kind of Messiah is this? And they walked away from this Messiah. And I think today we're looking for the prosperity Messiah and not the one who calls us to humility Messiah. You read the book of Luke. The whole book of Luke is about the mistaken Messiah trying to get it straightened out. This Messiah has come to get rid of us, that we might die to ourselves and live under him, that we might pick up our cross daily and walk with him. Amen. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Messed up, boy. I think Jesus makes it hard to get saved because he don't paint pretty pictures. If you're going to follow me, you might not have a house. I don't. If you're going to follow me, you might not have any certain other things. I don't. You want to follow me? You're going to be hated by men. You want to follow me? You sure? The world's going to hate you for it hated me. Jeez, I don't know if I want to get... See, he lays it right out, Jesus. Not this, oh, you get Jesus, you're going to be happy. When I got Jesus, my wife threw me out of the house. I ain't kidding you. She left me twice, locked the doors. Her and her girlfriends are changing locks with a screwdriver. I came home, I said, I'm not that saved. Call 911. And she says, I don't want to call 911. I said, you better, because I'm coming into it. I'm not that saved. Ponytail, beard, smoking joint, Jack Daniels a Coke, and I'm reading my Bible every night. I'm going to heaven when I die. She thought I lost it. But I didn't. I got it. Just the way I was, he came into my life. But I kind of knew what I was getting into. For 2 years, I was a secret Christian because I knew the price. If I would stand up for him, my family would turn against me, my wife. And when I stood up, they did. About a year and a half later, my wife got born again. She joined me. My family even got more fierce in coming against us. I hear people say, what did I ever get saved for? I know why you got saved, to get it better. You didn't get saved the right way or for the right reason. You got saved to follow him. As he walked, you'd walk in his steps. You ever see his steps in 1 Peter chapter 2, 19 through 23? Huh? He hung on a cross and didn't say a word. He took a beating he didn't deserve, never said a word. Why? For God so loved us. For the love of God's sake, he did that for us. Then he says, likewise, you wives, in chapter 3, verse 1. Then he says in chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, you husbands. Marriage is dying. Married to him is dying to yourself. Get married to each other is dying to yourself. And being a part of this church is dying to yourself. Jesus called us to a death, not success and prosperity. And so people could open up his King James Bible, preach King James word, and make you feel King James happy, and you go home and you get thrown out of your house. Who needs that kind of Jesus? So you go to a church that's got the kind you like, the kind that's getting all these false prophets, prophecies. See, false prophets make it a selfish generation. And that's why iniquity is abounding. The flesh, that word iniquity is your flesh. It's not sin. It's the very root of why you sin. Amen? It's the birth you got. Iniquity shall abound. All about me. I went to church for me today. I got me time. You come to church in you time. We're trying to get rid of you. This church is going to try to get rid of you. It's like a mafia church. They put a hit on you. Amen. Hey, yo, hey, deacon. See that guy? He's still alive. We'll take care of him. All right. Hey, come here. I'm going to take him for breakfast this week. We're going to open up to Romans 6. Don't you know you're dead? Don't you know the life you got is not yours? Why don't you act it? Okay? Don't come back to church unless you're dead. Boy, it's a dead church. Yeah, hallelujah. Christ can live if you're dead. True? And it all starts with this one word, love. This is an agape love. I know men say, well, that don't mean nothing. And again, it does mean something. I mean, I love pizza and I love Linda. Which one do I love the most? Pizza. Pizza loves me back. Pizza makes me feel good. Pizza makes me fat. Hey, that rhymed, didn't it? Now, how can I love pizza and love Linda the same way? It's different. Amen? Right? So, I mean, I love your pastor, but that don't mean, you know. It's a different kind of love. That's a phileo. It's a brotherly love. There's an eros, a feeling type of love. And then there's the agape love, God's love. It's unconditional. It's unending. Amen? And so that's the love here. It's the kind of love that keeps on loving. So you see the context, social distortion. The cause was false preachers, and the cure was truth. If false preachers caused this, then we need truth preachers. And truth, people, is going to say, if you're going to follow us in this church, we're following him, you better pick up your cross, you better get your death instrument, you better die daily, you better get rid of yourself. Well, I should have that class. Oh, I should be doing that. The pastor didn't give it to me. You know, the Corinthian church was divided because of the problem. Jesus Christ called us to a death of ourselves. Come to your own funeral. Get it over with. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit embalm you with the balm of Gilead. Amen. And so the cure is truth. Now, Ephesians had a shutdown notice. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter, not Ephesians, Revelation chapter 2. Did you know, I want to challenge you this morning on this love of this church. This church, my church, Bethel Baptist Church, not my church, but the Lord's church that I pastor, is a very busy church. Bible Institute's 28 years old, Academy, 30 years old, 31. Academy's 28 years old. We have senior citizens. We have youth ministries. We have young kids ministries. We have bus ministries. We have, you name it. I mean, we have coffee ministry. Guess the name of our coffee ministry is Holy Ground. No, Holy Grounds. You want to copy it? I'll sell it to you. We've copyrighted that thing. And, you know, only men make coffee in our church because the Bible says Hebrews. It never says Shebrews. Hallelujah. So stick that in your Bible and smoke it. Amen. Back in Matthew, there was a degree. It says wax coal. That word wax, if you get a candle and light it, isn't it amazing how it don't seem like it's going nowhere? But about 2 or 3 days later, you spend $12 for this thing. And it's like gone. Like, what'd they make this thing out of? Fuel? Would they stick kerosene in this mama jama? Like, what's going on? It was like a fuse in an M80. Didn't make any noise, but it went bang. It was gone. Well, that's exactly what waxing is. You don't notice it. You don't see it. You don't recognize you're losing it. But your love and my love, because of our flesh, and we want fleshly things, is starting to wax cold. The word cold and heat is very important. You know, cold air, the molecules are very lazy. Hey, what are you doing? I don't know. It's cold. We don't have to do a thing. And cold gathers together and just does not too much. Heat's busy. Whew. Wow, guess where heat goes? To the ceiling. It flies. It don't know what to do. It's so busy. Heat rises. Cold air gets colder and comes in. What are you doing? I'm not. What are you doing? Amen. Doesn't the book of Revelation teach us, some of you, I'd rather have you ice cold, or I'd rather have you, I don't like you in the middle. I don't like you in the middle. And so many shall wax cold. They're here, and they're there, but they're not doing too much. I did a lot of days, then there's days I didn't do. Then there's days I did it in the flesh, and there's days I did it by faith. I've been in the battle of trying to be a Christian for about 40 years now. It's a battle. And at my age, it don't end. I got up this morning, my flesh woke up with me. My flesh had its own ideas. God's spirit had his ideas. And some days my flesh wins. Some days my spirit wins. And I know what to do when my flesh wins. I also know what to do when my spirit wins. God has given us instructions for all things that pertain to life and godliness in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. So you see, there was a degree. It was a dissolving. It was a wax. There's a descent. People get cold. They get low. They get do nothing. They hide. They get under the radar. They sit in the back more. There's a deliverance. Sound doctrine, if bad doctrine caused it. Did you know Colossians says this? And my wife and I, we were taken into the fundamental movement. And this is one thing they did not do to us. We weren't rooted and grounded in the love of God. We were rooted and grounded in the works of God. My wife and I, we were in love with Jesus Christ. We had about a year and a half of a love affair. And then we got into Galatianism. Stop, start. Do this, you're accepted. Don't do this, you're not accepted. And it wasn't long we were in the love of God. We were in the love. You know, it says, become all things to all men that you might win some. We became all things to all men that we might be accepted. We just did it to the wrong men. Instead of the sinners, we did it to the church. Men who ruled the church ruled it by works. If you did the right push-ups, you're okay. You're in the Marines. If not, you're sidelined. And so we were victims of our love getting cold. And we knew it because we had a hard time in our home, disrespecting each other. We had a hard time with our children. We had a hard time in our church. It's so easy to know if you got this problem. You're having a hard time. You're having a hard time putting up with people. Because the love that we have from God is the love that keeps loving people. The believers, the misbelievers, you know, and then we have the sinners, the lost. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. Jude's a contending book. Well, I mean, contend for the faith. Oh, let's go out and fight the Jehovah Witness. That's not what that means. If you read the context of Jude, it's contend for your faith. And what is your faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself in your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. One of the hardest things to believe is God loves you still. Why? Because you're not the good Christian you look like you are this morning. Because you messed up on the way. You punched the dashboard. Thank God they're padded. Back in the day when I was growing up, they were metal. When your kid hit the dashboard, no seatbelts. I mean, that kid had a flat face. Hey, Ma, what happened to my teeth? Oh, Daddy hit the brakes doing 50. Boom, you know. We have people in our church. I join a car. We go and I get breakfast or coffee, and I see the dashboard full of dents. I know what that was. That was Sunday morning blues. Yeah. Come on, I'll fight you in front of the pastor. I don't care. Full moon, beard's coming out, the lady's nuts, he's nuts, they come in. Hi, Pastor. How you doing? Praise God. Hallelujah. Blood all over the dashboard. That's crazy. Do you ever have that mornings on Sunday? And you don't want no one to know because you're embarrassed. They're having the same problem. They're having the same problem. Satan knows how to give us that problem. It's okay. We've been there. We're the pastor and the pastor's wife. We've been there. I'll fix you. I'm not coming to church. I said, I'll sit you down from your Sunday school class. How's that? Oh, yeah? This is nuts. We're the pastor and the pastor's wife. When we're fighting, I'm not going. I'm going to embarrass you. Yeah? Well, I'm going to embarrass you, Dutch. Come on, right now. Oh, boy. Domestic quarrels in the pastor's home. But we were real about it. We didn't hide it. We had problems, but we had cures. You know, having a tumor without an operation is a bad thing. But when you hear news of a tumor and it's operable, it's okay. You got problems, but they're operable. Hallelujah. There's not a problem you can't take care of. The trouble is you think it's the person, you have the problem. You know what I mean? Because the problem is loving that nuthead, screwball, neighbor, friend, whoever it might be. Amen? So Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Why you got to keep yourself? Don't worry about the Jehovah's Witness. It's not a book that fights other faith. It's a book that fights your faith. Now, I told you to turn to Revelation 2. I'm going to quote this other verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Don't turn there. It says, faith. God don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, if you're circumcised or not circumcised. God's not in that. I'm circumcised. He's not circumcised. Hey, oh, God, come on. I'm a little closer to Jew than he is. God says, I could care less about that. This is what I care about is your love, which worketh by, it says, listen, I care about your faith. Which worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. What's that mean? Well, to demonstrate that to our church one time, I had my son Nathaniel. Nathaniel was the first SpongeBob. He was the first SpongeBob baby. He was this square, and he was this high. He was the shortest little heavyweight you ever seen in your life. And that pulpit was almost as high as this, maybe not quite. And I said, come here, Pop. Come here. Stand up here. He loved it. He's about 5 years old. And our pews go across the front. We don't have a center aisle. And I said, this big piano player, John, get over here. Get in front of the pulpit. I says, Nate, jump in his arms. Big guy. Jump. John, ask him to jump. Come on, Nate. Come on. John's got you. Come on, Nate. I said, get out of the way, John. I go down there. I said, come on, buddy. Oh, he drives me into the pew. I mean, the pew almost comes loose from his things. That kid would jump out a second-story window. If I seen him sticking out his head out of the second story, I'd be coming home from church. I was afraid to talk to him. He was that nuts. Let me tell you about this kid. He knew I loved him. So therefore, he trusted me. Trust is the word faith. Love, which faith, which worketh by love. You can't trust God unless you know he loves you. That's why when you get in trials and troubles, financial, family, whatever it matter, you might say this, what's going on? Did I do something wrong? God loves See, Job had this love war. And what was the world? He don't love you. He loves you only because he's a Pentecostal, because you give him everything. Take it away from the Pentecostal. Still, go to the Pentecostal church, right? So he took the Pentecostal stuff away, the Pentecostal blessings. He says, now? He said, yeah, still loves me. Well, then touch his kids. He said, he still loves me. Why did Job keep loving God? Because he knew God kept loving him. It didn't look like, did it? God. Peter. First conversation with Peter after he rejected the Christ three times. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? You know what Jesus was saying? Do you believe I still love you? Peter can't say, yes, I love you, unless he knows God loves him. See, we love God because he first loves us. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? But I tell you, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like flour. He said, didn't I tell you he wanted to take you away from me? And I prayed that you would have faith. Faith in what? Which worketh by love. He believed in spite of his great failure that God still loved him in spite of it. It brought him back. There's no revival without the love of God. There's no trusting without the word of God. We're looking at a church now that was a busy church like our churches. We're busy. We got seven irons in the fire. Hey, we're rocking and rolling, man. I'm sorry, I can't use that word, rocking and rolling. Right? Because Jesus isn't rocking, he's got to roll. Tutti frutti. When he blows the toot, he's going to check our fruit. Not tutti frutti. I got all these rock and roll songs that I legitimize into my sermons. Amen. We're going to rock around the clock. There's going to be a time where there's no more time. So we're going to rock around the clock. Ain't no more time. You'll get used to me. I hope by Tuesday, you'll say, thank God he's out of here. At least the pastor will. 1 John 4:19 says this. We know and believe the love of God. To know it is one thing. John puts both of them there. We both know and believe the love of God. As a Catholic, I knew God loved us. But as a Christian, I believed he loved me. And what a difference that made in my early Christian life. Then I was robbed by service, robbed by standards. And I still have standards. I believe standards are an offspring of faith, but it doesn't create faith. You know what I mean? Galatians were trying to get into a position that they already had by doing. You don't get anywhere by doing. You get anywhere by believing. Amen? Doing is an offshoot of believing. And when you believe God loves you, you can deal with any situation. All right, listen. We're not going to read the whole thing. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. See the word nevertheless? There's three words there. You are a great church. I know your works. I know your patience. I know your rebuke. I know how you're standing up out there. I know everything you're doing. I do. He says, nevertheless, this can never be less than what you're doing. You're putting something less that ought not to be placed less. What is it? Look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Excuse me. He said in verse 4, thou left thy first love, because you have left your first love. First love. You made my first love less. You made your works a priority. Verse 5 goes on to say, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of thy place. What are the first works? What was the first thing you did? You believed God loved you, and you received it, and you enjoyed it, and you came into the church saying, I can't believe God loves me. The old country song, why me, Lord? Why'd you love me, Lord? You know what I mean? And the love of God that we sing so wonderfully. And so this church was active, but they forgot their first love. Remember thy first works? What was the first thing you did? What is the first works? Calvary. God loved us so much that he demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. Right? That's when you first was introduced. First time demonstrated was when you was yet a sinner. God loved us while we were yet a sinner. Oh, one would love a friend, and one would even die a friend. But he died for his enemies. He died for us. How much more will he freely give us all things for those of us who know his love? So the first work, the first thing you ever did was receive the love of God. You could not do anything else. My whole struggle till I was 29, 30 years old was, I can't believe he loves a guy like me. I'm messed up. I'm screwed up. Let me clean up. Then I'll come. No. He loves you just the way you are. I can't be. I'm not worth love. We can't explain it, but I can express it. It's right here in Scripture. For God so loved you, Dominic, that he gave his only son as a demonstration of his love, that if you would just believe in him, Dominic, you would never perish. You would have everlasting life, just the way I am, just the way you are. It's not behavior, it's belief. And as the Galatians, how did you start? Did you start with behavior or belief? We started with belief. And what happened? We became the sons of God. Hallelujah. We might not look it, but boy, it's a good start to want to look like it when you get your title changed. And so we see here in this text, a good church has got a shutdown notice because their love waxed cold and they didn't know it. So God says, remember from whence thou art falling. You know, when God asks you to remember something, you got to check around, because God just doesn't tell you to remember. He gives you the memories. He gives you the ways to remember. You just don't know a church. Is that correct? What did he put into the church to remind us he loves us? He put four things in a church to remind us he loves us. What is it? It's a loving sister. A loving brother. Boy, he just loves so much. He just reminds me of the love of God. The Lord's table. Remember the Lord's table. You know, a lot of us in our communions, especially in Baptist churches, we use 1 Corinthians 11. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's the only church that uses that. How about all the other churches? They don't have to be corrected. That's good for correcting a church. But if you got a good church, really communion is, let me put my arms around you and tell you how much I love you. Remember how much I love you? You remember how I demonstrated my love for you? Hey, look at my body. It's broken for you. Look at the cup. I shed my blood. I love you. So we come to the Lord's table. He loves me. He still loves me. I didn't believe he loved me. I lost my car. I lost my spouse. I lost my kid. He still loves me. It's a way to remember how much he loved you, that he gave his son. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your wallet. It's not in your car if it's running or not. It's not in your family if it's succeeding or not. It's Calvary. Lest I forget thy love for me, bring me back to Calvary. Calvary is the only demonstration you're ever going to have for God so past tense loved the world. He demonstrated past tense while we were yet sinners. He loved us and gave his life. Past tense. You got to go back. If I'm going to remember the very first works that I did when believing the love of God, then I need the Lord's table. But guess what else I need? Baptism. See, these things that God gave us to remember his love are only in the local church. Well, I'll stay home in my kitchen. You're not going to hear the love of God in your kitchen. You're going to see the checkbook on the refrigerator that you can't even write a bill to get the kid. You're going to hear the kid crying upstairs saying, I hate church. You got a wife over there. She didn't even brush her teeth. She just say, one cup of coffee. We're going to have church at the kitchen table. I don't think so. You're never going to believe God loves you at the kitchen table. But you come to church and the preacher's got baptisms going on. What do we see in baptism? God made a passage. He sent his son to die so we can get rid of our first birth. And he rose his son up so we can get his birth. Amen? We can go from death to life, from a life that's full of sin and death to a life that has no sin and it lives forever. But it has to go through a passage. You had to die to get out from under the law so you could be married to another. Baptism shows how much of God loved me. He sent his son to get me a passage so I can get out of this life and get ready for the next life. There's another way in the church. Guess what it is? Soul winning. Evangelism. For God so loved the who? World. Guess what you do? You come in here, you forget your troubles, it gives you a couple cards, you go out soul winning. What are you telling people? Listen, buddy, God loves you. I don't want to fight with you. I'm just here to tell you tonight. And what are you telling people? You're in the love of God. Evangelism is working in the love of God. I love Fishtown, Kensington, because everybody there needs to hear about the love of God. I mean, in some of the highfalutin neighborhoods, they need, they're condemned by God. I like the message, you're loved by God. The rich man needed to know he was condemned. Poor Lazarus needed to know he was loved. Hallelujah. The love of God is in evangelism. It's in missions. God loved the world, not just this neighborhood. Hey, God, your love constrains me. It wasn't Paul's love for the lost. It was God's love for the lost that Paul got involved in evangelism and missions. God loved them. My wife has a dog, Frosty. I do not like this dog. I want to let it run away. I really don't like this dog. She'll holler. I'm downstairs doing my Bible devotion. Let Frosty out. Then he goes out. Rah, 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 rah. Then he comes out. I want a treat. I want a treat. I want a treat. I don't like the dog, but I love my wife. And God forbid that dog escapes. It's over. I'll be up here living here somewhere. So why do I treat Frosty nice? Why do I go out of my way to make sure he's fed and watered? Why do I go out of my way he's out walked and he's okay? Huh? Happy wife, happy life. The love my wife has for this dog, because my wife loves the dog, I serve the dog, I love the dog. The love of my wife constrains me to like this little animal, a little Frosty. He's a nice little dog. He's cool. But my wife spoiled him. He's just a spoiled brat. But nonetheless, so we see here in missions, we see the love of God. Every one of these are found in the local church. Every one. You miss the local church, you miss the remembrance of the love of God. God loves you. God loves you. Calvary is the only demonstration. You will not see it in your checkbook, the extra car, the brand new toupee. Hair's growing. God must be, since I became a Christian, my hair started growing. You know what I mean? And then you got to get your foot amputated. Then your other arm amputated. You got a full head of hair and you can't walk. God loved you when your hair was growing, but now you're missing. You know? But God does love you. And we're through. But let me just say this. Keep yourself there. Colossians, rooted and grounded. Use who disciple new believers here. Make sure they're going to mess up. They're going to have dirty diapers. What are you worried about? God only loves you. Colossians, it's a done deal. You're complete in Christ. Don't let no one ruin you through a false philosophy. As you received him by faith, walk in him. As you received him, you believed he loved you. Walk in him, believing he loves you. He loved. What can I do to end the love of God? Romans 8 says nothing. Ain't nothing past, ain't nothing present, ain't nothing future. So if there's something in your past that you think God stopped loving you, well, he still loves you presently, so that must not be a problem. And he's going to love you until he sees you. And by the way, he's coming a second time without our sin under salvation, the new covenant. Oh, my goodness. Come back tonight. We'll talk about bad DNA.
If God has used this ministry in any way to be a blessing to you, please take a moment to send us an email to info@opendoornj.org. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online at opendoornj.org. Thanks for tuning in.